Welcome, brothers and sister, to season two. You got me for 60 minutes. 60 minutes of playtime.
Oh, Jesus Christ. My ass puckered in a weird way.
What's up, Kyle?
There's a lot of pent-up emotion there.
I've been waiting to do that intro for so long.
Came on my face.
That's
so,
what she said.
We have season two of That's What's Up.
Will's gone. He's off doing
more important things
is what I do.
Sad face. So we got, of course, your annoying voice as always, me.
What's your name?
Oh, Kyle.
Okay. Just making sure.
Then we have Kevin.
Kevin, back as usual.
Special guests.
Brandon
and
is
Sarah.
Here.
Sarah, introducing Sarah.
First appearance. So, P-Pals.
Don't put this on your resume.
What would you define as a micronation?
Us? Right now? Here? I don't know.
Did you want to get that meta?
We are.
I wasn't even thinking of it like that.
Listen, brah. If you smoke enough of this, we will become a micronation.
Yeah.
Why did you morph into Keanu Reeves there?
That's, I don't know.
It's the natural thing to do. Yeah.
Sarah, do you have a guess?
I already read the first couple lines.
Oh. Well, don't do that anymore.
I don't know. How many people does it become a regular sized nation?
It's a micro penis, but it's a bunch of people.
So it's an entity
that's
smaller
with micro penises.
That could happen. It's smaller than it should be. It's scarily offensive.
It's an entity that claims to be an independent nation or state, but is not officially recognized by any other world governments.
All right.
Like
yeah.
All right.
Someone that's trying to secede but hasn't successfully done so.
Hasn't succeeded in succeeding?
Exactly.
Sometimes. So the reason why I came across the micronations was because I heard of the micronation Other World Kingdom. Now, from the title of that, what would you guess Other World Kingdom is about?
A cult.
Scary religion.
Something in the Middle East, I don't know. That's another world.
Other World Kingdom is located in the Czech Republic. Do you want to try again?
No, I think you told me.
No, but like, what do you think it is? If I just say Other World Kingdom is located
in
the Czech Republic.
Probably some sort of underground bohemian.
I'm not switching. I'm saying crazy religion.
It could be. It could be.
It might be.
Other World Kingdom.
It is!
was founded in 1996. As a commercial BDSM and femdom facility.
So we were a little off.
Might have been close with this micro penis.
But it was on. Ooh.
So the government of Other World Kingdom is a matriarchy where women rule. And the state's goal is, quote, to get as many male creatures under the unlimited rule of superior women on as much territory as possible. Mission statement. That's a good mission statement.
That's a pretty powerful mission statement. To enslave all the men.
Otherworld Kingdom is ruled by Queen Patricia I.
You gotta be the first. You gotta start somewhere.
An absolute monarch whose coronation took place on May 31st, 1997. She is able to amend laws and other legal issues. And her roles include Sublime Supreme Administrator.
Okay.
Sublime Administrator of the Treasury, and of the Queen's Court and the Queen's Guard.
Wait, she needs to be guarded?
Sounds like a lack of internal patrols there.
She came to power after the revolution of the dildos.
So, below the Queen, there's a series of different classes. The first is the Sublime Ladies, or the Ladies Citizens, who are the nobility of the kingdom. To become a citizen, a woman must fulfill certain criteria, which are, they must reach the age of consent, they have to have the ownership of at least one male slave.
So it's gotta be married.
Oh, come here, Mr. Slave.
obeying the principles and laws of Otherworld Kingdom. Duh. Sending the application in online for citizenship.
You think you'd put that first.
And you have to spend at least 5 nights in the area of the Queen's Palace.
Is it like an actual palace, or do they just call it a palace? Okay.
The site of Otherworld Kingdom is 7.4 acres in area.
Okay.
With several buildings, a 250-meter oval track, small lake, and grass lawns. The main building is indeed the Queen's Palace, which is the residence of the monarch and contains the banqueting hall, library, throne room, torture chamber,
and
the
sex dungeon.
Well, same thing.
Schoolroom, gym, and
extensive... We're gonna punish you.
Okay, so there's torture room, but there's also extensive basement prison.
It's 3 miles of underground.
For those who are
time.
Particularly bad.
So yeah, I came across that micronation. I thought to myself, there's got to be more of these. And oh, was I surprised where that went. The first one we're going to go to is going to be the Republic of Melosia.
How do you spell Melosia? M-I?
M-O-L-O-S-S-I-A.
Okay.
Melosia.
It was founded by Kevin Baugh and is headquartered solely from his home near Dayton, Nevada.
All right, then.
So it's his house.
Yep.
That's the palace.
The Republic of Melosia has claimed itself a nation. However, it's not recognized by the United Nations. Again.
No? You're kidding.
A real weak on population.
It consists of Baugh's house, known as the Government House, which is about 0.01 acres in size, but also has 1.3 acres of surrounding property. The name Melosia is derived from the Spanish word moro, which means small rocky hill.
Okay, do they have some sort of Spanish influence here, or is that just random?
On September 3rd! On September 3rd, 1999, Baugh created the Republic of Melosia as a latter-day successor to a childhood make-believe kingdom called...
Yeah.
After the revolution that went on in his head after he tripped on acid for 3 days.
Okay, can I try that again?
I created Candyland.
Okay. As a latter-day successor to a childhood make-believe kingdom called the Grand Republic of Buldstein, and declared himself to be president. On November 13th, 2012...
Okay. That was not that long ago.
Kevin Baugh created a petition on whitehouse.gov requesting formal recognition of his micronation. However, the petition did not get enough signatures.
You're kidding me.
Melosia consists of 2 properties, previously 3. We had to sell the beach house.
We had to sell the naval base.
They're all owned by Baugh. Their Harmony province is located near Dayton, Nevada. Is the smallest territory. That's the primary family residence of Baugh's family. And is the site of Melosia's designated capital, Boston.
Boston.
Spelled B-A-U-G-H-S-T-O-S.
Boston.
Yep.
Yeah, okay. So, how many people are we talking here? Do we know yet?
Before we get into how many people there are...
Okay.
I'll give you some hints, okay, to how many people there might be, and you gotta guess.
Alright.
So now we're gonna talk about the military of the Republic of Melosia.
Are they being threatened by anyone? Does anyone give a shit?
The Republic of Melosia has...
Is that Baugh?
That's him!
Kevin Baugh is quite the handsome fellow in military garb.
Alright.
He looks like Peter Griffin.
His Excellency, President.
His Excellency.
Oh, my mistake.
So, the Republic of Melosia has no army or air force.
Oh.
However, it maintains a standing navy with a fleet of 4 vessels.
I was gonna say,
this is gonna be good.
And a land infantry division, the Melosian Naval Infantry. The MS Spindrift, the Navy's flagship, is a 13 by 3 foot inflatable boat.
correct me if I'm wrong here. We're in Nevada, correct?
Yep.
Where are we going?
With our naval fleet.
What are we defending?
Lake Tahoe is where you're
going. Oh, okay. The rival micronation across the way.
The U.S. Manatee and twin boats MS Bandicoot and MS Platypus
are two old tires.
Form the remainder of the fleet, the MS Wombat. The first vessel in the Navy, built in 2005, was decommissioned in 2013.
As it sprung a leak.
For repairs.
The Navy has one commissioned officer, so that's Kevin Baugh, but 49 honorary commissioned officers, and that's my new life goal.
To be an honorary.
Let's move on to the Republic of Milosia's space program.
What? Excuse me? Those are some lofty goals, say.
The Republic of Milosia.
It's a satellite on top of his house. And one of those, like, dime store rockets that you let off in your backyard.
Maybe, yes. No need for an army. Let's jump right to space.
Mm-hmm.
Okay?
The Republic of Milosia's Ministry for Air and Space Exploration, all capitalized. Thing.
It's important.
Is charged with all matters related to air and spacecraft in the Republic.
So, the airspace over his house.
It has many running projects in existence, including the Skylofter project. Skylofter project.
Yeah, please do tell.
Putting
a rocket
storage on top of his house.
The Skylofter project is a rocket that's about 2 feet tall.
Okay. A science project that everyone's done in high school.
And it's gone into orbit, in air quotes.
Oh.
Which means it probably did not.
Not the orbit
that science
says. It went up science
and then says. Came back down.
Let's move on to foreign relations, shall we?
I don't know.
Milosia has a very anti-Israel stance.
Pretty interesting, too.
Milosia recognizes several other micronations, with numerous treaties enacted to this end. In May 2008, a summit was held with Grand Duke Paul.
You know these titles, where they're all dressed up in complete military garb with all the medals that they've made themselves in their living room.
Maybe Grand, some chocolate coins.
Yep.
I got this one at Boy Scouts.
Grand Duke Paul is the leader of the Grand Duchy of Gryffindor. Another micronation.
Gryffindor!
From where?
It's not clear. Plans were made for the revitalization of the League of Small Nations, a nearly defunct organization devoted to the prosperity of all micronations claiming land.
The League of Small Nations. Old men on the internet.
Milosia,
from their mother's basements.
Milosia asserts it's one of the first countries to recognize the Republic of Kosovo, which was declared on February 18th, 2008. And Boss sent an official letter to the newly formed Kosovoian government. Imagine receiving that letter.
And you know they were like, what the fuck?
What the fuck is this?
Was the letter congratulating them or asking
Let's
for aid?
Let's move on to Milosia's war with East Germany.
Yes, Les.
Wait. East Germany that is no longer in existence?
Right.
Okay.
The Republic of Milosia has
mailed a letter full of shit.
Has claimed to be fighting a war with East Germany and issued war bonds to stop the war. They claim to be fighting since November 2nd, 1983. Although East Germany is now defunct, President Baugh asserts that Ernst Island, allegedly given to East Germany by Cuba in 1972, is sovereign territory of East Germany and thus allows the war to continue. In reality, the island has always been under Cuban sovereignty and was never given to East Germany. Did you want to know how many people were actually in the Brandon? Was that the...
Yeah.
Was that the question?
Yeah, in Boston.
In Boston.
See, I think you should talk about the structure of the government. I think that one's pretty funny.
Well, the structure of... Have you looked at... Are you looking ahead?
She's clearly doing that, yes.
Fine, Sarah. We'll go to the structure of the government.
You can answer Brandon's question first, though.
Melosia is a republic governed by a constitution creating a national assembly and other institutions of state. However, quote, due to unrest and the ever-present foreign menace from over the border, end quote.
What border?
The border of Melosia.
Oh.
So everywhere.
So Nevada. So the state of Nevada.
Exactly.
The state of martial law exists.
From, like, the non-army, the one, just the like, navy. The honorary navy officers or whatever.
Everyone is going to bed at 6. Damn, that's me. Damn it.
This enables the president, Kevin Baugh, to exercise all powers of governance, including foreign affairs, while making the National Assembly an advisory body with no legislative powers whatsoever.
Okay.
It seems like you created way...
Right.
This is
I'm going to create a republic and take it away.
So that way, in theory, I'm okay.
I'm sticking
but it's
my guns,
really
though.
Just a dictatorship.
The membership for the Republic of Melosia is 27 people. That's more than you thought it was going to be.
No. Was it?
I would venture to guess.
27 people? 1.3 acres?
I thought we had like over 40 honorary members of our Navy.
Well, that doesn't mean they live there.
Oh. What? They're coming in from out of town? Are they getting paid? What? Well, I got this side gig defend this micronation in the middle of Nevada that has this navy.
Send out the email. Kevin's having a pool party.
All right, let's move on.
It's a day job. All right.
This one, we're going to take a ride. To Oxzivland.
Gesundheit? Yeah, can you say that again for me?
Oxzivland.
Is there a Z
just
in
one
there?
More time.
Oxzivland.
Oxzivland.
You sound like you're having a seizure. Like you're the Mac computer.
Oh, X.
It's
Oxzivland.
Well, as long as there's a Z in there, it's hip and cool.
It's on the Lebanese.
Zafonex.
It's on the Lebanese.
May increase
border.
Your risk of disease.
It's on the Lebanese border on the Israeli west coast.
May cause dry mouth. Erectile dysfunction. Your butthole may fall out. And some anal seepage.
Jesus.
Do not take...
Do you want to keep going?
I don't know. Xanathol. I don't even know what you said.
Is your heart safe enough for sex? Epilepsy. Your balls will fall off. Welcome
to
Oxzivland.
Do not take peanut butter. We don't even know what will happen.
Do not use an enema of grape jelly. God.
All right. Oxzivland was founded in 1971, Brandon.
Okay. Where is this?
I already told you. It's in the Lebanese border on the Israeli west coast.
I wasn't paying attention.
You weren't.
Do you know where Lebanon is?
It's a place. I've heard of it before.
Sounds war-torn.
So it's a micronation near the ruins of Oxziv, which is an ancient settlement on the Mediterranean coast of Western Galilee. The current site of Oxzivland is situated near this ancient city. It is based on archaeological findings and the numerous burial sites located in the region. It is thought that Oxziv was already an important commercial center during the Iron Age, and it is mentioned in the Book of Joshua in the Bible.
Well...
So, Oxiv was an actual place way back when.
Yes. All the way through, like, the First Crusade and even toward the Arab-Israeli War in 1948. However, in 1961...
And the Arab-Israeli War that's going on now.
In 1961, the Israeli government granted the French resort company Club Med...
Oh, oui.
...a 50-year lease over this area's coastline. So it's now Club Med land.
We went from Bronze Age, First Crusade. Would you like some more grape juice with that, sir?
In 1952, so before it was given to Club Med, an Iranian-born sailor, Eli Avivi, moved into the buildings in the villages. According to former residents, Avivi was hired by a family of fishermen and later moved into that family's house in 1955. So in 1970, the Israeli government sent bulldozers to demolish the home that he had been living in, because now it's Club Med land. In protest, Eli founded Oxivland in 1971, setting up a hostel and a museum inside the former home that he was staying in, of the people that he was staying in.
So he's a squatter.
Yes. The Micronation became a tourist site, attracting artists, writers, and countercultural figures. The Micronation elected Avivi to be president. According to the Constitution...
Does that mean himself?
Listen.
I am president now.
According to the Constitution...
You cannot knock this house down.
Which I wrote myself.
According to the Constitution, the president is democratically...
Do you think he puts on different personas to be different things? Like,
He switches hats. That's what he does.
Quote, the president is democratically elected by his own vote.
Yes. So perfect. He's a dictator.
He established a flag and national anthem. And
100% approval rate, I've got to say.
He even issued passports.
To himself. I can go anywhere I want.
For a certain time, visitors' passports received a special Oxivland stamp.
Himself.
No, people would travel.
No, people would go there.
Right, the tourists.
Yeah.
My mistake.
Following the founding of Oxivland, Avivi was arrested and detained, but released 10 days later after a judge ruled that the charge of, quote, creation of a country without permission did not exist.
What are we doing here, guys? Why aren't we creating our own country?
After Avivi sued the Israeli government, a court ruled to lease the area to Avivi for 99 years.
Holy shit.
So today...
He owned this.
Yes. But it did not rule on the legal status of the state, so it doesn't recognize it as an official state.
He just owns the land, though.
He owns the land.
Until he dies.
Oxivland now contains a guest house, beachfront campground, museum of eccentricities, and is open to the public. So today, you could go visit Oxivland.
Good. I'm glad.
If you get a rash, call your doctor.
we're still on that? We're gonna go to Texas now?
Oh, no.
I was honestly my first thought when you defined micronation. I was like, Texas? Could count?
We're going to go back to December 21st, 1826.
Were there Texans?
Wait for it, Kevin. The Fredonian Rebellion.
Is that my
friend? Stop looking it up while I'm going over.
I just really hope the person who led this rebellion was named Fred.
It was the first attempt by Anglo settlers in Texas to secede from Mexico. The settlers, led by Hayden Edwards, declared independence from Mexico.
The Haydonians.
Declared independence from Mexican Texas and created the Republic of Fredonia near
one of these places.
Kyle. Do it. Butcher the
Gloss
word.
Gloss over it. Come
Butcher
on.
The word, Kyle.
One of the
Nacogdoches.
One more time.
Yep. Nacogdoches.
That's good.
That's actually pretty good.
Thank you. The short-lived republic encompassed the land the Mexican government had granted to Edwards in 1825, so a year earlier, and included areas that had been previously settled. Edwards' actions soon alienated the established residents that were already there. And increasing hostilities between them and the settlers recruited by Edwards led the Mexican government to revoke Edwards' contract.
So he got land from the Mexican government.
Yes.
It was like, I'm a country, fuck you.
Yes.
And people were like, whoa, we don't like that.
People were like, what the fuck are you doing? And he was like, we're doing this, motherfuckers.
Strap in.
So in late December 1826, a group of Edwards' supporters took control of the region by arresting and removing from office several municipality officials affiliated without the established residents' approval. Supporters declared their independence from Mexico.
So it was a coup.
Although a nearby Cherokee tribe initially signed a treaty to support the new republic, overtures from Mexican authorities and respected...
Empresario.
Thank you. Stephen Austin. I took German, not Spanish, all right? I struggle with these words.
9999!
So Stephen F. Austin convinced the tribal leaders to not go with Edwards' rebellion. So on January 31st, 1827, A force of over 100 Mexican soldiers and 250 militiamen from Austin's colony marched to Nacogdoches to restore order. Many of the participants, including Edwards, fled back to the United States.
So 350 people.
Yes.
They took it.
So that was the initial Fredonian Rebellion. Fast forward
Zoom.
To 1992. To the Principality of Fredonia.
Ooh.
Yeah. The Principality of Fredonia was a micronation based on libertarian principles.
Oh, stop right there.
We're in Texas. We're libertarians. What can go wrong, Kevin? Answer my question.
Say nothing.
It's going to go perfect, Kyle. Everything will be okay.
It was created as a hypothetical project by a group of teenagers.
Hey, man.
But no girls allowed.
We can eat ice cream all night.
We'll play Xbox.
The Xbox didn't exist back then, Brandon.
I can dream, can't I?
Hey, Timmy, are your friends doing... I don't know why the mom's Jewish. Are your friends making up that Fredonia nation again?
The project was formalized.
God damn it!
The project was formalized as a new country project in 1997, which included attempts in 2001 to lease territory in Somaliland, in Africa.
I'm gonna say Somaliland sounds a lot like Somalia.
The attempt to lease the land was rejected.
Seems to be often that is the response.
And a riot ensued in response to the attempt.
Oh!
In which it is reported that one person died.
In Africa or here?
I think here in Texas. Because it was headed by a Texas University student named John Kyle.
That's a white name.
It's two first names. Yeah. Can't trust that man.
He's a bad guy.
He now uses the title Prince John.
Which is another name for your penis.
And the nation started functioning in 2014. So, yeah.
Yeah.
Goodness. The Principality of Fredonia is based, actually, in Boston, Massachusetts.
Oh, I'm confused now. What does Somalia have to do with this Boston, Texas place?
Well, Boston.
Boston.
Prince John.
Which is a dick.
When he started the Principality for realsies, he was like, we need...
For realsies?
Thank you for using realsies so seriously. All right.
He tried to lease land for Fredonia, but he couldn't do it right. In Texas, so he went to Africa.
Right. And he didn't work there either.
Couldn't get it there.
Because everything goes in Africa, right?
And we got to assume...
Yeah, you can buy a country for like... I don't know.
You can buy a country for, like, a Big Mac or something.
I remember...
Two Big Macs.
There was a time when they were, like, Bill Gates could buy, like, three or four African countries. It's insane.
Unfortunately, the Fredonia project...
So now he moved to the eastern United States.
Yes, but the project's website has not been updated for a number of years.
Oh.
And its discussion forum no longer functions.
Bummer.
Email communication with the self-styled prince does not work, and the entire project seems to be defunct. As of 2013, the Fredonia website is no longer available, but there's a Facebook page. So Fredonia lives on.
I was going to say, is it used? Is it active?
I mean, if it still exists in 2013, then maybe. We can hope, can't we?
Maybe is all we get. Maybe Fredonia lived on.
Maybe.
I'm still wondering why it's called Fredonia.
Let's move on.
Where's the Fred?
So it's Fredonia. F-R-E-E.
Oh, I didn't know there was a second E in there.
This is it's different than Fredonia.
Fredonia was the first one. Sorry. Fredonia.
Oh, they changed the name as if that would get more support.
It's free, Brandon. It's Texas.
It's America.
It's goddamn libertarian.
So we're going to move on to the sovereign state of Eterna Lucina.
Latin.
So, like,
City of Bullshit Light.
There's an Australian micronation.
Good die.
Good die, mate.
Get your eyes shrunk on the Barbie.
Shrunk on the Barbie.
You want a full season Australian baby.
It's really Australian for piss.
How many Australian accents can we fit into like a 5-second blurb?
Oh, I'm the crocodile hunter. I'm going to take this snake that can kill 120 men. Oh, I'm just going to let you go.
Oh, there's a
so sad.
Did I get too real? Did I break the fifth wall or whatever that was there? I apologize. Alright. Okay. It's an Australian micronation that existed between the late 1970s.
Oh, crikey.
Until the death of its founder in the 1990s. The founder and supreme lord of Eterna Lucina was Paul Baron Newman. Originally Paul Robert
like
Newman.
Paul Bearer?
Like Paul Newman, the salad dressings.
He was a German-born pensioner from the northern city, Sydney Beach.
I was thinking a combination of the two. A Paul Bearer full of, like, salad dressings. I don't know.
Paul Baron Newman was a German-born pensioner.
Okay. This is a guy that has a...
Would you like some balsamic?
He drives around a hearse and he sells salad dressing out of it.
He is from the northern Sydney beachside suburb of Curl Curl. Two words. Curl Curl. He claimed to receive the title of Baron Newman of Karabakh from the exiled former King Hassan III of Afghanistan. Do you want to unpack that?
No, you go ahead.
Okay. So, King Hassan III of Afghanistan was an exiled monarch, right?
I got you.
He claimed that he met King Hassan and that he had given him the title Baron Newman of Karabakh, whatever that means.
Right.
He also claimed to be awarded over 850 other honors.
When you say claim, it makes me makes it sound like maybe it didn't actually happen.
Including professorships, doctorates of philosophy and divinity, and dozens of other chivalric honors. Eterna Lucina was apparently named for the Roman goddess of childbirth, and was founded in 1978, and initially occupied a property owned by Newman near Byron Bay. At some point during the 80s, Lord Baron had to move, and the state moved temporarily to Newman's Curl Curl residence, before its relocation to 14... Square kilometer, rural property near the snowy mountains town of Cooma. In southern New South Wales. Southern New South Wales seems redundant, but whatever. According to a 1989 television report, the Curl Curl residence, known as Vitama, was considered to be the micronation's capital. The state finally relocated to an undisclosed location near rural Victoria.
Rural? They got to stay off the grid. People are after them.
The state of Eterna Lucina came to public
when
attention.
When you're the knight of the professor of the pope of the country. You can't afford to be assassinated.
Came to public attention in 1990 when several people associated with it, including a leading Sydney businessman, faced fraud charges related to visa and land sale offenses.
Ooh.
That seems to be...
So it's a cash cow.
It was a cash cow. Its structure is an absolute monarchy, obviously. And the official languages are English and German.
Nine.
Let's...
Go on.
Let's move... to Ganike.
Is that with a G?
Yes.
Good.
Ganike, which translates from Mohawk into Land of the Flint. It's a Mohawk community.
That was a Native American accent?
Yeah, no.
Of the Flint.
Oh, it's all flinty.
Often died.
It's a Mohawk community located on about 600 acres near Altona, New York, in the far northeast corner of Upper New York State. It's a rare case of indigenous people reclaiming their land from the United States. I'll read on.
So they got a tank.
In May 1974, traditionalists Mohawk repossessed land. Repossessed. I think I read it first as re-oppressed.
No. We're going to hold you down.
Repossessed land.
You want some smallpox blankets?
Jesus Christ. Repossessed land near Old
Forge. We've got them lying around. They've been in storage.
For 300 years. Turnabout's fair play, motherfucker.
Repossessed land near Old Forge, New York, at Moss Lake, a girls' camp.
Good.
They took over a Girl Scout camp.
They claimed the land under the concept that had been a part of their historic territory in the area.
And it had great thin mints.
And that New York made an illegal treaty in 1797 when purchasing the land from their leader, Joseph Brandt. So they were like way back in the day.
They cited some old shit.
These Mohawk left the...
Oh, yeah, here's a word. Come on, Kyle. Kill the word, Kyle.
Give it a shot. Be proud.
Underhand pitch.
Akwesane.
Hey, that's a word. Sounds like a word.
Okay. That's like this city in the province of Kawanake.
Hey.
Kanawaki.
Watch your mouth.
And other reservations to rebuild their traditional lives. The land dispute has not been fully settled. The action was related to a rising Native American activism and specific land claims being filed by the nations of the Iroquois. They had been forced to cede their historic lands to the state after the American Revolution as allies of the British. But the U.S. Senate never ratified the treaty, making it invalid under the Constitution. True. Some believe that the 1794 Treaty of...
Oh, here we go again.
This is the price I pay for being the narrator, people.
Kyle, you don't get to be God and not have anyone come after you. Can you...
Kanandiagua. Or Daigua. Kanan Daigua.
Give them continuing
it's
rights.
Kanan Daigua.
Oh, there's another.
Turn to it.
Kanan Daigua.
You narrate them, Kevin. At the same time, the founding of Ginike was related to Mohawk local issues, as some families wanted to leave the reservation environment, which they found had problems with substance abuse, among other issues.
You don't hear reservations being, like, top tourist destinations.
The 3-year armed occupation of the girls' camp.
Were the girls still there?
I can only hope that they're just like, you eat the crumbs.
Of your Girl Scout community. They got very good at braiding each other's hair.
Let's see. So the 3-year armed occupation of the camp ended in 1977 after nearly 200 negotiation sessions with state leaders.
Wow.
The Mohawk agreed to move to the territory at Minor Lake, which was offered by New York State through a trust.
Because they didn't want it?
Unlike the 10 reservations within the border of the state, the jurisdictional relationships between the tribe and New York have not been defined in that territory, in Minor Lake. So... the Mohawk could have more autonomy over there. And the Mohawk have generally prohibited outsiders from entering the territory. This became the
settlement... Probably good reason. White people going into Native American territory usually doesn't end well.
This became...
For the natives, let's be clear. Worked out just fine for us.
We got a shopping mall.
This became the settlement of Ginike, which originally was about 25 families... and about 12 miles from the Canadian border. The local townspeople helped supply them with food and other necessities during their first winter. The Mohawk established a permanent non-reservation settlement and claimed sovereign status. Kanike's founding was a rare case of indigenous people reclaiming the land from the United States. Just want to reiterate that, because they wrote it again in the article that I'm reading from.
All right.
Kanike spokespeople state that the only Mohawk nation... community that functioned solely under the original constitution of the Iroquois Confederacy, without interference or influence from the United States or Canadian governments. The people claim that the two-row wampum guarantees Kanike the right
to... As opposed to three-row wampum. Too much row. One, not enough.
Three?
Too much.
Too many.
Two row wampum works the best.
Just enough.
Works with iPhone.
Just right. Yes, Goldilocks.
Yep.
It guarantees Kanike the right to exist as a sovereign entity within the international community. They note that this, as a sovereign people, they may not be taxed by New York or the federal government.
So they really, like, they did this.
Right.
Yeah.
However, recently, Kanike's economy has depended on the introduction of tax-free bingo. Where the 1500...
Taxation without bingo!
Does anyone have oppression?
B5. God damn it.
Where the 1,500-person hall is often at capacity.
Oh, wow.
And the sale of cigarettes contributes to the economy as well.
That's are these, like, outside people or just...
Within.
Yeah. They love bingo.
Bingo, right? You can come in and play.
Oh, that's what I was asking about. Yeah. Is it, like, outside people coming to play bingo, or is it just all... really into bingo.
We could go play bingo.
Yeah.
You have to...
If there's a slot open, it sounds like it's full up. You're on a waiting list.
You gotta get the two-row wampum.
That's the password. You have to, like, knock on a door and a little, like, slides open. You're like, one way wampum. And they're like, no.
And there's a line of 1,400 people behind you.
You must go.
The Kanike Holistic Center... is a venture offered and open to the benefit of everyone, Indian and non-Indian people alike. Their words, not mine. Native American. And recently opened for everyone with great success is the 9-hole Kanike Golf Course. The businesses are communally operated for the benefit of the territory, though regular convened community meetings... Oh, through regular convened community meetings, every resident of Kanike has equal responsibility and opportunity to participate in day-to-day activities within Kanike. Kanike is also a dry community with zero tolerance policy toward the use of recreational drugs and alcohol. Party's over.
All right.
But we have bingo.
But
and golf.
Bingo, golf, and...
Cigarettes.
Good enough for me.
I was thinking all the natives would really get satisfaction out of striking those little white balls.
We go now to the most recent micronation, Liberland.
Liber.
I think it's Liber for Liberty Land.
Liberty?
So...
Like some liberty.
Liberland.
Liberty.
Is in the Czech Republic.
Liberland.
We're going back to the Czech Republic.
Those Bohemians over there.
Right. It was established...
Are there no anal dildos in this one?
No male slaves in this one. Crossing fingers.
That's what they like.
I can't tell if that's good or bad.
How many fingers, Kyle, did you cross?
It was established 11.
Someone's a volunteer!
It was established on April 13th, 2015.
Whoa. Okay.
Like a month ago.
Current.
Like a couple
current
weeks
news
ago.
Is what we're on now.
It's a free republic, and is a self-proclaimed micronation situated at an unclaimed parcel of land on the western bank of the Danube between Croatia and Serbia. Sharing a land border with Croatia. It is proclaimed on the 13th of April by Czech libertarian politician and activist Vít
Oh, yes.
Jadika. Jadika. And this is probably wrong, but whatever.
Somewhere a Romanian man is very unhappy
probably, yeah,
with
I was going to say he probably won't listen to this. He won't care. Check.
The official website of Liberland states that the nation could be created due to an ongoing Croatia-Serbian border dispute. Both Serbia and Croatia have blocked access into Liberland in May, like this month.
How many acres was this?
It is 3 square miles.
Oh, okay.
Vit, the guy that, I'm not going to say his last name again, Vit was detained for less than a day by Croatian authorities, also in May. The flag raising on Liberland was performed by Vit and some of his associates on the same day the Republic was proclaimed. Vit was a member of the Czech Party of Free Citizens, which bases its values on classical liberal ideology. As described by Vit, neither Serbia, Croatia, nor any other nation claims the land as their own. Okay. The border is defined in accordance with both Croatian and Serbian border claims and does not interfere with any other state sovereignty. Vit said in a...
So they got away with this because of a zoning.
Yeah, this is a zoning issue. Vit said in an April 5th, 2015 that an official diplomatic note would be sent to both Croatia and Serbia, and later to all other states, with a formal request for international recognition. Both Croatia and Serbia have deployed police units to prevent attempts to reach the uninhabited area. But a team of journalists from the Serbian Public Broadcast Service, Radio Television of...
Here we are again.
What?
Vojvodina.
Yep.
Vojvodina. One more time.
They attempted to visit the area and make a news report, but they were denied access by the Croatian border police without getting any clear explanation, and were told that the flag had been taken down. However, a group of Czech reporters managed to successfully enter Liberland later the same week. A Bosnian group of journalists from Nevi... As Avnaz.
Bosnian group of journalists attempted to
yes.
visit.
attempted to visit Liberland. We're told by Croatian police that Croatia enforces a fine of 2,500 units of money in Croatia.
Monies. Just call them monies.
For those who enter
the
zone.
Croatian kuna.
Thank you, research team.
Research team, Sarah.
But the fine only applies if you enter the zone near the border with a car. So obviously they went to borrow bicycles.
Oh, I was going to say horses.
From locals. But as they attempted to reach...
Do you think they don't have cars?
So the Croatians
no, but they would
have
been fine if they went
yeah,
in their
car. Yeah, the Croatians don't want anybody to fucking get in there. They met another patrol on their bikes and couldn't get past.
Ah. Bike war.
The government of Liberland is... Quote, 10 to 20 members.
It depends.
Depends. Every other Wednesday, I'm busy, so...
Tom's got tennis.
High tech, though.
And bingo, too.
10 to 20 members have been suggested for the administration of Liberland.
You bring two wampums?
Everybody bring two wampums to party meeting. An electronic voting system will be used to elect members. So... You know,
it's probably a computer, and it's like yes or no.
It has an open border policy. Apparently, Croatia does not share that same feeling. The official motto of Liberland is to live and let live.
Hakuna Matata.
Like, never mind. Okay.
The goal of the state is to create a society where righteous people can prosper without state regulations and taxes.
Like. Righteous like the Iron Cross or like righteous man
dude
I would hope both. The founders were inspired by countries like Monaco and Liechtenstein, and Vit accepts requests for citizenship, and according to the official website, only communists, neo-Nazis, and other extremists are ineligible for citizenship.
So if you're a moderate, you're okay. Anything else? No, you're not allowed in.
I had Brandon going like, this is going to be fucking nuts. According to The Guardian, a newspaper in the UK, it has received over 200,000 applications for citizenship in the first week.
Wow.
Give it a shot. Why
That's
not?
Good PR.
In the beginning of May, so this month, Liberland issued its first citizenships, which amounted to about 30. The event was supposed to take place in Liberland, but Croatian border police stopped the group from entering the territory from the Croatian side. The theme presents itself again.
Croatia's is not happy.
There is also an attempt to cross the river with fishing boats from the Serbian side, but it failed because the group hadn't foreseen that local fishermen didn't have the permits for transporting people with their boats.
Government bureaucracy.
That's why they're trying to get there. No more bureaucracy.
Bureaucracy?
Bureaucracy. Furthermore, Serbian police informed VIT that those who try to perform illegal border crossings will be arrested. An improvised ceremony was instead held in a place.
Yes. Nondescript.
Baki Monastor. At the same time, VIT organized plans for another attempt based on traveling all the way from the Czech Republic to Liberland on the Danube River, which is technically an international waterway. So far, they only have they've published a draft version of their constitution. Still in the draft phase.
Still in the Google Doc.
Guys, if you could just go to the Google Doc and
I've sent it all to you. You have permission to edit it?
Their economy is that there are plans for an official cryptocurrency system.
Sounds like a currency that's very difficult to use.
No,
you have to solve this Rubik's Cube.
They accept donations in Bitcoin.
Yep, you can donate in Bitcoin, which... Does anyone use... What happened to Bitcoin?
I don't know what it is, so I can't tell you.
Bitcoin was like the online currency, which is supposed to be... You could use it...
You're supposed
on the interweb.
Yeah. I don't know exactly
what that is. I just don't know how it works.
Buying into it, yeah.
However, the politicians will be constitutionally forbidden from indebting the nation to foster their economy, which is perfectly normal in libertarian terms. So, that was kind of the brief expose on micronations. Brandon, I'm going to put you on the spot.
Don't. Go ahead. I just can't, promise you're going to get anything worthwhile out of me.
What's your micronation?
What's the name of my micronation?
Yeah. The Republic of Brindonian?
That's too easy. grilled cheese. That's it.
What happens at the... Is it a republic or are you a dictator of grilled cheese?
Oh, a dictator for sure. I need to uphold...
I have a 5-year-old thought, but does anyone else think the dictator sounds like a penis-shaped potato?
That's awful.
Every time you said dictator, I picture a penis-shaped potato.
It's a penis-shaped tater tot.
If you keep going, I'll create I'll think of like a potato pun, but you have to keep the bit going.
it's that thought. It's just like, it's penis-shaped potato.
But are you saying it like...
With a Hitler mustache.
Are you saying it like in, like, Mater from Car's voice? Like, he's a dictator!
It's just like a tater tot that walks with its balls. Welcome to grilled cheese!
He's the guard dog?
Nine! 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 Nine!
Welcome to
Bring
grilled cheese!
Bring two up them!
Welcome to grilled cheese, where
they cause anal seepage.
Where you can whip out your dictator.
Sure.
It'll only cost you 2-way wampum to come in. Now, okay, hypothetical question. If I go to Otherworld Kingdom, the BDSM male slave place.
Yeah, your ass will be stretched.
Am I undoubtedly, but am I allowed to leave, or am I like...
No, you're a sex slave in the deep
prison dungeon.
Like,
or what was it? The extensive prison basement thing.
Right.
Oh,
I don't get to leave? It's not like I can take vacation time?
There's no safe word for bondage.
Slave.
Right.
Right, but do they have, like, a police force? I'm sure you can escape if need be. I think you're only there if you want to be a slave, so...
Which kind of takes away...
Kevin, what's your micronation?
I don't have one.
I just want to point out that the Sovereign Nation of Grilled Cheese is very focused on alternative forms of energy to create very good grilled cheese.
Now, what are you going to do about the obvious shortage of
potatoes? Cheese?
Tomato soup.
Imports.
How are you going to pay for these? What's your export to pay for your imports?
Grilled cheese.
But
even
then you...
Trade.
Oh, you're just
so you
even...
You need to go to the tomato nation.
This is like an apples for oranges thing, Kyle.
But then he has...
I have excess of grilled cheese. That way we both have an equal amount of grilled cheese and tomato soup.
All right, Sarah, what's your micronation?
I don't know.
Yeah,
it's too much.
Yeah.
Too
Brandon, yeah. Yeah. I know a better idea than you do right now.
I say the Republic of Grilled Cheese... I think it should be the People's Republic of Grilled Cheese.
Yeah, I like that. It has a nice ring to it.
To go along with the dictator feel to it.
In your study of history, you're going to be like, so-and-so is a dictator. And you're like, it's a penis potato.
I hate that I'm going to be like, it's a penis potato. All right. So I'm glad you guys could join us, special guests. On the podcast.
Thank you.
And for this week, that is What Is Up, Brother.
Welcome to season 2.